You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
What is going on, Pirate Nation? Welcome into The Sports Objective. You're listening to the podcast version of On Deck, which is our preview of the 21st annual Keith LeClaire Classic. The Pirates are welcoming the Purdue Boilermakers, Cal State Fullerton Titans, and the Southeastern Louisiana Lions to Clark LeClaire this weekend for this annual event. Play will get underway on Friday for East Carolina. 2 o'clock first pitch against the Purdue Boilermakers out of the Big Ten. Purdue is 6-2. The Boilermakers took 3 of 4 on opening weekend down in Sugarland, Texas from the Stony Brook Seawolves. And last weekend they were in Holly Springs, North Carolina, where they took 3 of 4 from the George Mason Patriots. They're averaging right at 10 runs per game and have not scored less than 6 in any contest thus far. On Saturday, the Pirates will square off with Jason Dietrich, former ECU pitching coach, and the Cal State Fullerton Titans. The Titans are 4-3, won a series at Stanford to start the season, then dropped 2 out of 3 to the Fresno State Bulldogs before winning a midweek game against the Loyola Marymount Lions 6-4 before heading to Greenville. And then on Sunday, it will be Bobby Barbier's Southeastern Louisiana Lions, a very tradition-rich program. However, Coach Barbier's in his first season there in Hammond, Louisiana, after coming over from Northwestern State, leaving his alma mater to guide this tradition-rich program at Southeastern Louisiana. But without any further ado, let's go ahead and dive into our interviews. First, we caught up with Jason Dietrich. Dietz, the former Pirate pitching coach in 2020 and 2021, did so much in the development with Gavin Williams, of course, now a standout with the Cleveland Guardians. Let's go to that conversation with Dietz right now. This weekend, the Keith LeClaire Classic will be taking place at Clark LeClaire Stadium. It's hard to believe that this is now over 20 years for this event. But one of the teams participating, the Pirates, on Saturday at 3:30, will be taking on the Fullerton Titans. And, of course, a very familiar face guiding that Fullerton program, former East Carolina pitching coach Jason Dietrich. Coach Dietrich, welcome into the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And obviously, East Carolina fans fired up about this event, as always. And the Pirates coming off a series win against the 15th-ranked North Carolina Tar Heels. But your ball club off to a 3-3 start opening weekend. Right out of the gates, you went to Palo Alto and took 2 out of 3 from the Stanford Cardinal.
Yeah, it was it was good. I think the crazy thing is we had a doubleheader for the first day, that Friday. So the guys aren't really in shape for that. But it's baseball, so it was a great opportunity. I thought we played well there. They're pretty similar to us in regards to they lost a lot of their players in regards to position players and pitchers, and so I think we're both. Both teams are trying to figure out who we are and how we can, put the best lineup and figure out our pitching and all that stuff. So it was good. It was a good weekend. Unfortunately, we had a little rough one this last weekend against Fresno State, but they're a good baseball team.
Before we dive into this 2024 club a little bit more, just tell us about what your first couple years have been like there in Fullerton. Obviously, you had been a West Coast guy prior to getting the pitching coach job at East Carolina, one season in Greenville, and then this opportunity came along. Tell us just about how those first couple seasons have gone. Year one took some lumps, but then last year you were in a regional at Stanford.
Yeah, it was, I coached here in 2013 to 2016, and we were blessed to go to 4 regionals, 2 super regionals, and 1 trip to Omaha. And if people don't know Fullerton, it's, it's a really baseball tradition. Rich program. There's been about 73, 74 guys that made the big leagues from this program. There's 4 national championships, 18 times they've been in the College World Series. So a lot of tradition and history here. And so coming back, I was gone away for a while. I was at Oregon for 3 years, then at ECU for 2 years. So, I still follow them and see how they did. But coming back the first year, a lot of guys left. We had to do a quick evaluation of what our roster was like and who stayed back and incoming recruits and all that. So it was a year, you hear it is a rebuild, so to speak, because a lot of players weren't here. We had to evaluate the roster, like I was saying. And so we had some tough, it was tough the first year, to be honest with you, getting to know the guys, where the program was at, and we had to steal our culture. And so that takes time, as people know. There's a process to it. But that first year was rough. It was rough. But we learned. We did the best we could. At the end of the year, we made a lot of tough decisions, moved on from some players. And then we brought in like 20, I think, two guys. And it was great. Last year was awesome. It was a fun group of guys to be around. You know, it's fun and how they competed, came in every day to work. And then we made it back to the regionals. And this program is not about making the regionals. It's about getting to Omaha and compete for a national championship. But it's a step forward, and we were proud of the way our guys did that. We had four guys drafted. But the one thing is we lost a lot of those guys, whether it be drafted or they were done with their college careers, position player-wise, and then we lost, you know, three big pitchers. But then again, we had to bring in a big class again this year, and that's where we're kind of trying to figure out who we are and roles for all the positions. We have three returning guys, position player-wise, and then we have about four guys that had a lot of innings last year. So it's a patient process, but we knew that there'd be a time would come, and this is it, where we have to just be patient, help them grow and develop and go out there, compete, and then we can evaluate. Honestly, on a game-to-game basis and a weekly basis to figure out who we are and how we can continuously move forward.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about this year's roster. You and I were discussing briefly off the air, you know, just about some of that turnover, Coach Godwin, and some local interviews over the last few weeks. You know, and he referenced and saying he'd spoken with you, I guess, just prior to the season, and that he was joking, saying that perhaps you were sandbagging a bit because you guys went and took two out of three from Stanford, and he was just kind of laughing. But you said it's certainly not the case, that you wish it was. But
I was telling you earlier, I wish it was sandbagging. I wish I could sandbag and say, hey, this, and this. But I'm not. It's just, like I said, we're playing a lot of guys that haven't played a lot. Whether it be they transferred in their high school or they're a JC or a portal guy. So we don't have a lot of experience in that aspect, Division I at bats or playing time or innings or what have you. So it's just we're trying to figure out who these guys are, and they just have to go play, and we have to help educate them because a lot of them, like I said, they don't have a lot of playing experience. And so, you know, in the baseball world, that's huge, especially in college baseball. So we just got to be patient with them. Help educate them. We're going to give a lot of guys opportunities. And at the end of the day, as coaches, we're just wanting guys to show consistency. And we always say who wants to win jobs, and the guys that can be more consistent are the guys that play the most, you know, position player wise. And then pitching too. Like I said, we have a lot of inexperience. And it is what it is. And we're not using that as an excuse or anything. It's just part of us figuring out how we can continuously grow and get better and help these guys understand and be in situations that they've never been in before in regards to playing. So they have to learn from them to help them keep growing. And so we can keep growing as a team and hopefully get to where we need to be come conference time. And that's why we have a challenging schedule, is because we want to see where we're at.
Tell us about your lineup. Give us a thumbnail sketch. You know, some of your top performers thus far. Obviously, we're only six games into the season. I notice names like Lopez, Guzman, Wallace, there's been some of your top performers at the plate thus far.
Yeah, it's, Eli Lopez, he's a scrappy little infielder that plays all three positions. He can put tough at-bats together. Again, he's a guy that doesn't play that much, but he competes at a high level. Hopefully he can continuously, you know, put those quality at-bats together. Colby Wallace is a guy that was here last year. He had some at-bats. You know, look at him. He looks, you know, he does the eye test. He's a big physical left-handed bat. But he still needs to figure some things out. He had a good weekend at Stanford, and this last weekend, Fresno pitchers did a good job of kind of pitching to him, and he struggled a little bit, but that's baseball, right? You're not always going to just do good things. So obviously that's expectations, but, baseball's tough. So we're excited about him. Moy Guzman is another guy that's returning plays the outfield. He plays with energy and passion. But again, he's got some things that he needs to get a little better at, and he knows, but we love how he goes about playing. Maddox Lotta is a returning guy. He's kind of one of our most experienced guy. He's really good little ball player. He's playing shortstop this year. He played second for us last year, plus baseball IQ. His dad's a renowned hitting guru, works with a lot of big league guys. So he has a good feel and good baseball pedigree. So he's another guy that we're excited And then Jack Haley is another returner guy that, you know, he's done his best at the plate. He struggles a little bit, but he plays unbelievable defense. Played short last year for us, playing third for us this year. But he's gotten better at the plate. But like any guy, he just continuously want them to continuously improve little by little. And there's other guys we're trying to figure out who can do what. You know, Luke Mastoni at first. But that, like I said, he's working on things. We're trying to figure out who our catchers are going to be. We have two guys kind of platooning right now. You know, DH kind of rotating. We have a freshman we really like named Marcos Rosales. You know, he's been injured, but he's been, you know, I think he can DH until he gets his body and his arm healthy. But he's a guy that we like that has huge potential. And he's a guy that we feel like can, you know, help us defensively and offensively also. So that's kind of it for now. But like I said, tomorrow when we play LMU, we're going to probably play some guys that haven't played that much this year to see kind of what they can do. And like I said, it's going to be a lot of experimenting, so to speak, to figure out who can do what and how we can have a consistent lineup.
You know, obviously, you have your stereotype, so to speak, as far as in the West Coast style of play. And as I mentioned, you've been a West Coast guy. You also spent 2020 and 2021 with East Carolina. And, you know, the way the Coach Godwin and his staff like to do things offensively. So, you know, if you're able to play the way you want to play, you know, what should Fullerton Titan baseball look like?
Well, from an offense perspective, it's similar to Coach Godwin's. We like to be aggressive. We don't – we'll small ball. We need a small ball, which I challenge the defense. We want to work hard to get, you know, extra bases, whether it be, you know, on a base hit, hard turns, going, you know, first to second on a dirt ball, first to third on a base hit. We just want to be aggressive in everything we do. But we want to be fundamentally sound, and that's the one thing that kind of hurt us this last weekend is we had a lot of base running blunders. A little disappointing because that's kind of stuff that we take a lot of pride in, but things that we'll have to iron out and get better. We're not going to hit you out of the yard. We'll have some guys that can run in some balls here and there, but we have to be kind of a station-to-station offense, so to speak, and we need to put some more pressure on the defense, and that whether that be, you know, drag, push, sack, hit and run. That's something we have to continuously work at to figure out who can do what. But that's kind of what our style is going to be. Fortunately, we have to get better at it because right now, like I said, we kind of showed some signs. But then this last weekend, like I said, we just got kind of humbled a little bit in certain areas that we need to clean up in regards to our offense.
Let's shift over and, you know, talk about your pitching staff. You know, tell us what you have returning from a year ago and what's your weekend rotation been like through the first two weekends?
We've had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Christian Rodriguez has been our Friday guy. He was out last year. He had Tommy John. He was here my first year. He heard it during a game his first year, so he didn't pitch all last year. He's coming back. He throws a lot of strikes, big kid, and he's got hit a little bit this last weekend. But he's a kid that, you know, like I say, he's still coming back. He's feeling good. His experience because he was a weekend starter for us 2 years ago. So hopefully he stays healthy and continues to go out there and improve and get the experience needed. We have a guy named Kai Negrete. He's a transfer kid out of the University of San Diego. He's pitched well the last couple weekends. He's a left-hander. He's done pretty good. He didn't pitch that much at the University of San Diego. So we're still just being patient with him in his process, but we like how he competes and gets after in the mound. Then we have a freshman named Chad Gurney that's pitched the last two weekends. He's just a guy that's going to compete. Another guy, just three pitches for strikes, fills the strike zone up. Because I think the one thing that we have done pretty good is play good defense. So that's one thing we preach to our pitchers is, you know, we want them to be aggressive in the zone and pitch to contact because we have guys behind them that can field the ball. So those are the three starters that will be this weekend for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then we have a lot of new guys. Our main experienced guys are Jason Blood, Peyton Jones, and Seth Tomczak. They're the one of the most experienced in regards to innings for us that are, you know, that have come back and we count them out of the pen because we have so many new guys and so many freshmen and JC guys or guys that are returning that didn't pitch that much. So it's just the inexperienced piece. And that's what we're trying to navigate right now and figure out who can do what. So tomorrow playing LMU, we'll throw a lot of guys to get them out there and have the experience. And we're still trying to figure out some jobs, but it's kind of in a nutshell what our pitching is like as of now.
Defensively, granted, small sample size, but 987, obviously, that's stellar. So what are your thoughts there as far as how your team's fielded it thus far?
Yeah, I think they've done a great job. Like I said, to kind of echo it again, is our infield play has been really good. And then the outfielders have done a good job. Like I said, you know, catchers working hard behind the plate. You know, so I think we've done solid enough there. It's just, you know, it's just our offense has struggled a little bit, and then a couple games our pitching struggled. So it's been, you know, we're just trying to work to find some consistency with our team. And that takes a little time, as everyone knows. I wish it was just kind of overnight, but, you know, until they get out there and compete and you know, experience the game, only that will let us know where we're at and how it continuously can get better.
You noted a couple minutes ago that on Tuesday you play Loyola Marymount, and then you guys will be headed out to Greenville and Clark LeClaire Stadium for the Keith LeClaire Classic. Obviously, you have that relationship with Coach Godwin, so I'm sure that's the main thing. But just talk about how this came to be, and you guys playing in the LeClaire Classic this weekend, and just the opportunity that provides for your club, you know, and the way it can help you grow up, you know, and obviously accomplish what you want to accomplish when the postseason rolls around, going into such a hostile environment.
Yeah, and it's great. I talked to Coach Palumbo, I think it was about a year ago. You know, because scheduling is important, and he was talking about the Keith LeClaire, and I'm like, hey, you know, do you have any open spots? And we talked about it. And he goes, yeah, let's figure this out and get it done. And I was excited, obviously, wanting to come back. And I want our guys to experience what it's like to be in an environment with a passionate fan base, and how they challenge you, the challenge of the opponent. And they're the huge weapon for the home team, for the Pirates. And that's just what it can will you to a win for the Pirates, as we all know, because of the belief and just how loud it gets and the support they give you. And our guys need to experience that, because, like you said, that's important. And having a challenging schedule and go to places like ECU is important for our guys to, first of all, just to experience that. A lot of guys, some guys have never flown before on our team. So having to go across, you know, from coast to coast, to go to, you know, Greenville, it's going to be something that they're really going to appreciate. And that's why I told them, like, you guys need to just really relish this. You need to enjoy it. And you need to just kind of be appreciative of playing some, you know, three great opponents. But obviously Saturday is going to be special too. So it's going to be packed, playing East Carolina, top program in the nation. So that's the stuff that you want your players to experience at a high level. So when they get, it's like just the playing experience right now, we're wanting them to do, but obviously the traveling part and being in a hostile environment, it's going to be fun for them, and I know they'll appreciate it.
Yeah, Coach Godwin, on Sunday, following that 10-9 victory over North Carolina that really got crazy in the final 3.5 to 4 innings, went from a pitcher's duel into a shootout where nobody could get the other team out. But, in the post game, you know, Cliff stated that if we were in Chapel Hill, I honestly do not know if we win this game, just talking about the impact of Pirate Nation and the Jungle 6,017, a school record crowd.
That's pretty special. I saw some of the tweets, and I saw the walk off, and just hearing how loud it gets there. It's just, like I said, it kind of made me reflect back on the, what was it, in 21, when we had the regional there, and we beat Charlotte, made that comeback. Right. That place was rocking. And then when we beat Maryland to go to the Supers against Vanderbilt, it was just loud. And it's just, not until you're there, like Cliff even said, he goes, hey, Deets, when we're hosting a regional, you're going to see how loud and fun it gets here. And I was like, I can't wait. And it was just spot on, because I was like, God, this place is not, I can only imagine what yesterday was like, especially against, you know, UNC. And I'm telling you, that's a huge home field advantage when you have those people pulling for you, and just those players just feed off that. So it's fun.
I believe it was Matt Bridges, perhaps, but a member or two of that 2021 team that you referenced was talking about that Charlotte comeback and just how it seemed like the ground was shaking. It was so loud.
It was. And Matt Bridges, I still talk to him and numerous other players, special young men. But, yeah, it was fun to see him finish that game off against Maryland. But, yeah, that Charlotte place, it was rocking, and experience that was pretty fun.
Final thing for you, you referenced your stops, obviously, in addition to East Carolina, Oregon, previously Cal State Fullerton. So, sure, this is your third year now as head coach, but how did all those experiences, you know, tell us a little about what you took from each of those stops that you've kind of blended into your own style there at Fullerton?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I was 5 years. I think this is my 17th year overall coaching in Division One. At 5 years at UC Irvine. Each place is special in its own ways because I was blessed to be around two Hall of Fame coaches. And I think, you know, Coach Godwin and Rick Vanderhook, who will be Hall of Fame coaches down the road. So to be around really four unbelievable head coaches, Mike Gillespie, you know, Rick Vanderhook, George Horton, and Cliff Godwin, they're all different styles, but to watch how they all did things is what it was important for me as an assistant coach. Is they all had a different way of doing things, similar in certain areas, but different in other areas. So I just, you know, you sit back and watch and see how they interact with people, how they treat people, baseball feel wise, just overall gamesmen, you know, learning the game and how they, the flow of a game, the offense strategy, defense strategy, even pitching strategies, recruiting, alumni relationships. There's so many things that you can learn from where you work. And for myself, I'm very lucky that I've had four great head coaches that have helped me grow to where I'm at today. So you take a little bit of everybody that you've worked for and you create your own style. But there's a lot of little things that I've taken from those guys to be who I am here. And hopefully it'll continuously grow. And as we all know, you're always wanting to get better. But I was blessed to be around, you know, four great guys. And unfortunately, one has passed away, but there's still three around that I still talk to. And I'm very thankful with relationships I have.
Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate 20 minutes of your time here on a Monday afternoon. And best of luck to you and the Titans against Loyola Marymount. And then certainly this weekend, you know, when you're not playing the Pirates, I know East Carolina fans are definitely pulling for you. I was hoping you would find a way to come out of that Stanford Regional a year ago. And, you know, excited when you were having some success early on in that regional. But we certainly look forward to having you back on sometime down the road, and, you know, safe travels as you make your way to Greenville.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Like I said, hopefully I'll see you at the field this weekend, and looking forward to being back in Greenville, just seeing all the fans and friends that I have out there.
Pirate Nation, that is third-year head coach of the Fullerton Titans, and that is Jason Dietrich. We appreciate his time. Be sure to follow us on social media, on X at the Sports OBJ, on Instagram and TikTok at the Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. But for Cal State Fullerton coach Jason Dietrich, I'm Bob Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to the Sports Objective. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, go Pirates. There you have the thoughts of third-year head coach of the Fullerton Titans, and that is, of course, former Pirate pitching coach Jason Dietrich. The Titans are 4-3, coming off a midweek win over Loyola Marymount, and will play the Pirates on Saturday afternoon at 3:30 at Clark LeClaire Stadium. And now, let's move into our conversation with the first-year head coach of the Southeastern Louisiana Lions, Bobby Barbier. We caught up with Coach Barbier for about 15 minutes earlier in the week, and here's what that conversation sounded like.
Bring it on. Want some, get some.
How about those friggin' Pirates?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the Pirates because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're Pirate.
It is a first down. Pirate.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina. You don't come to East Carolina. You don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You better go, Thelma. I can promise you that.
Painted purple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
What is going on, Pirate Nation? Welcome into the Sports Objective.
short edition of the program that we call On Deck, of course, previewing East Carolina baseball's upcoming opponent. The Pirates, of course, travel to Old Dominion on Tuesday, but this weekend, the Keith LeClair Classic now, two-plus decades that this event has taken place, and it's one that means so much to the East Carolina fans, as we all know. But on Sunday, the Pirates will be taking on Southeastern Louisiana, and Southeastern Louisiana has a first-year head coach, and right now I'm very excited to be joined by him, and that is Bobby Barbier. Coach Barbier, we appreciate your time this evening.
You got it, man. I appreciate the intro. That's pretty neat. So, good to be with you guys.
Yeah, no doubt. You're there in your first season in Hammond, Louisiana at Southeastern. Very tradition-rich baseball program. So many conference championships, and I believe you had a 10-year run, you know, obviously, you know, prior to your arrival, because you're in your first year, as I stated, but I think from 08 to 18, this program won 35-plus games and won 40 games in several of those seasons. So you certainly are in a great place. So talk about that decision to leave your alma mater to go to Southeastern Louisiana.
Sure. I mean, I got to watch from across the state just kind of what they had here. And I love my alma mater. And it was really tough decision, but it came down to, you know, a chance for me and my family to come to a spot that we thought we could really, you know, be here for a little bit and have all the resources to win. And I mean, also my family's from down here in South Louisiana. I'm a South Louisiana guy. So it's just kind of one of those things where the opportunity presented itself. It was the first call from the AD. I kind of said, hey, I don't think so. And then he kind of let me know what commitment they made to baseball here, which is, you know, I would imagine not everywhere has it like that. You guys do. You guys have great commitment to baseball, so you know what it's like. So it's nice when the administration appreciates baseball and what and the sport and how fast it's growing and what it can do for your school.
Yeah, no doubt. And as you stated, obviously, in East Carolina, I'm very fortunate, and with the passion that Pirate fans and the community have for baseball, and we saw that over the weekend with East Carolina and North Carolina, two top 15 teams this year, and you know, so much success for each of those programs, and 16,000 plus attended that three-game traveling series. But your ball club, you've obviously won a couple of series already in Tarleton State, and then also a familiar foe with the UAB Blazers out of the American Athletic Conference, dropped a midweek game to South Alabama. But what have you seen from your ball club thus far?
Well, I like our fight. You know, the things that we can control, I think we've done well. We hadn't played perfect by any stretch of imagination. We've had some rotten innings in there in those first few games. But I do like right now when you're a first year coach, you know you go through 7-8 months of getting your team ready to play, and you do all the things you think you need to do to get them prepared. But it's always different when those lights come on, you know, and it's having guys in your dugout stepping up and doing things that need to be done. And you know, we went a long time this year, it seems like, without getting a big hit. And then once you finally got one that Saturday at UAB, it kind of became a little easier the next day. So hopefully that kind of broke the ice for us a little bit. But we've gotten pretty good starting pitching on the weekends, which has carried us a little bit. But our team, man, it's a bunch of South Louisiana guys and South and Texas guys and guys from the South that like to play really hard and try to get after you.
You talk about pitching kind of carrying you thus far. Like I mentioned, a couple of series wins. I did notice, you know, your team batting average, not what you would like for it to be, but at the same time, as we know, the batting average is not necessarily always an indication of quality at bat. So tell us about your ball club offensively and who some of your leaders are.
Sure. I mean, I think the one reason the pitching numbers are so good and the offensive numbers are so bad is we've played in some really pitcher-friendly environments. And if you've been around baseball long enough, you know how much it can affect the game. We've had the wind blowing in 15 miles an hour plus for probably 5 of the 7. So, which is fine. It's got to, it's that way for both teams. But I really like our offense. I really do. I mean, we can go left-handed, right-handed. We got some power. We can run a little bit. We got guy named Jake Hayes, who actually came with me from Northwestern. He's an all-conference shortstop. He plays second for us. Guy named Ryan Brome, who's had about 80% quality at bats with not much to show for it as far as numbers go. And some of those balls started to land, you know, which helped us score some runs here in the last two games. So it's a I think our offense is coming. I think it's gonna it's taking a little while. We've had some tough luck. We faced some decent arms. We had some, you know, we got all excuses, but it's, when it comes down to it, it's just baseball. You know, it's just the nature of the game. There's ebbs and flows in it, and first few games it's been a lot more beneficial for the pitchers, and I don't think it'll be that way all year long. So I'm excited to see, you know, these two midweek games we have and see us swing the bat a little bit.
Obviously year one, you know, but eventually, you know, when you're clicking on all cylinders, and how do you want to play offensively?
I'm a stand up and hit kind of guy. Like I like doubles and homers. And I think the game is trending more that way with the balls and bats. You know, I've been around it long enough to see it all. I've seen where gorilla ball, when you know, where LSU's hitting 150 homers. I've seen where you had to hit it twice to get it out the yard. And it changes, and we got to change with it, you know, as coaches. So I think the game is trending more towards like it used to be, where power is a big part of it. I think you'll see multiple teams with 100-plus homers this year. I think you'll see a lot of teams that have, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys with 12 to 15 or even more than that. So I think in order to, you know, we talk about putting pressure on an opposing staff. That's how I want to put pressure on them. I want to put a pressure. It's not meaning not to say we're going to have a bunch of homers this year or anything like that. But that's the style that I like to play. Now when it's time to steal a base, we steal a base. When we're down 3-2 in a ninth on Friday night, we're man on first and two outs, and we thought we could run, and we stole second base. We didn't get them in, but we put ourselves in a good spot because we're a little more dynamic than just stand up and hit, you know. So it was that's the style I like. I mean, I played at 235 pounds, so you know I like to ball the fence. So that's kind of how I like to do it.
I agree. It seems as though the game's in a pretty good spot. You recall back a little over a decade ago, the BB Corps era, you know, it was kind of went too far the other way, where right. You went from seeing guys playing the warning track as outfielders to against many of those, you know, those same bats, you know, hitters, that is, and just playing, you know, not much more than halfway through the outfield. It was an extreme shift.
Yeah, but, and if you weren't dynamic on offense, it really hurts you. You know, if you couldn't do, if you built your team full of lugs, like home run hitters, and you had a tough time when the bats changed that way. And you know, in a perfect world, we want guys that can do multiple things, right? We want a guy that can steal a base, hit a ball in the gap, and you know, play really good defense. When you kind of the mid-major level, and I know they call y'all mid-major school, but I don't think that's the case. But in the mid-major level, sometimes you get a guy with, you know, you got to pick a one tool or the other sometimes, you know. And, you know, that's – and we've got some guys that can do both. But that BB Corps era, man, it was – I was at University of Alabama there coaching third base. And, man, it's hard to coach third base when the outfielders play on second base.
So. Right. Kind of shifting over and, you know, talking about your ball club from a pitching standpoint and defensively, tell us about your weekend rotation and how those guys have fared through the first two weekends.
Yeah, well, we've run out three right-handers the first two weekends. We've got five. It won't show up as quality starts 5 out of 6, but I think it's 5 out of 6. Our Friday night guy, that pitch count at the opening in the opener, but man, he was competing his tail off. And our Saturday guys had two good starts. Our Sunday guy was wonderful, 6 innings, 1 run in the opening weekend. It wasn't, you know, struggled this past weekend. We picked him up because he picked us up the first one. So but we're right-handed heavy starter wise and got a few lefties in the pen, but it's just neat watching them come together. You know, it's neat watching them, all the work they put in and seeing who runs to the moment, who runs away from it. You know, I mean, that's a big part of our sport is you know, when it gets tight, who wants the ball hit to them, who wants to make the pitch, who wants to have the at bat. And you got to be authentic and you got to genuinely want it, you know, and that separates a lot of guys. So seeing who those guys are and letting those roles establish themselves throughout this preseason before conference play is going to be really important for us.
Yeah, and obviously, as we were discussing off air, a 5-game week for the Lions. So definitely much baseball to be played in a couple midweek games before heading to Greenville. How's your club performed defensively?
We've done okay. I mean, we've made some silly errors. So the error, the fielding percentage is probably low, and I bet 3 or 4 of those is us kicking the ball in the outfield. But we've done well. We got our shortstop has played really well. TJ Salvaggio, I think he had 15 assists over the weekend. He was kind of our MVP without, you know, hitting 600. But he's done a good job for us. Like I told you, our shortstop from Northwestern that came over, Jake Hayes, is playing second. I really like those two up the middle. They're good players. So we've got a lot of guys. We've kind of rotated quite a few guys in the outfield. We've got kind of a more defensive group that we play sometimes or put in for defense, and a, you know, kind of more physical group that we try to bang it around with. But I like our defense, and like I've said before, I think the numbers this early are a little tough to just evaluate the numbers. It's more the individual plays and what can we do a little better. Our Spencer Goodwin does all of our infield shifting and things like that and positioning. He's done a phenomenal job with that. So I think that's a huge part of defense too and taking away hits.
Talking about this event, obviously Cal State Fullerton taking part in it. There's a connection there. Jason Dietrich, the head coach of the Titans, had been East Carolina's pitching coach in 2020 and 2021. And so pretty obvious what happened there. But, just talk about how Southeastern was, invited to take part in the Keith LeClaire Classic. And I believe this is at least the second time the Lions have done so. And it's quite the event for a great cause. And some tremendous teams have been in it over the years, and no different this weekend. In addition to yourselves, on the 11th-ranked Pirates, Cal State Fullerton, as I mentioned, who were in a regional a year ago at Stanford, already took a series from Stanford this year, and also the Purdue Boilermakers out of the Big Ten.
Yeah, we're excited. I mean, I can't claim I haven't gotten anything done here because it was done before I got here. I know Cliff well from his time at LSU and sitting watching games with him. And, so when I got the job here, we talked and, you know, we were still invited, thank goodness. But we're fired up. I mean, we don't get to travel across the country to play very much. You know, we're pretty regional in our scheduling, get to places by a bus, and to be able to do this and such a, I mean, I knew about this tournament, you know, not having any involvement with it for a long time. So it's something that I hope our guys cherish. You know, I hope they run to it. I hope they're excited about playing against good teams. You know, I mean, I think that's important to challenge ourselves versus good teams and go and play in environments that are different, and then challenge ourselves against different styles of play. I think Cal State Fullerton's probably gonna play a little differently than Purdue, probably gonna play a little differently than East Carolina, you know. And we got teams in our league that do the same thing. So it'll be good for our team. We had our first road trip this past weekend, and I think the road, your team kind of comes together a little bit. You know, you don't get to go home and go to your apartment or dorm room after the game. You know, you gotta hang out with each other, and I think that helps guys come together. So we're fired up about coming out there after we play these two midweek games.
I know you guys are located, 50, 60 miles east of Baton Rouge and then about 60 miles or so north of New Orleans. I believe you typically play LSU during the midweek. an excellent environment there. Obviously, one of the top in college baseball.
Yeah, no, they do.
You told your guys, if anything, regarding the atmosphere at Clark LeClaire Stadium in the jungle.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it when it gets there. I mean, I don't think, like I said, we got four other games before we get to that one. But it's I think maybe I'm just an old man that's played in a bunch of baseball. I mean, like I said, I was at Alabama for 5 years and we played in a bunch of really good environments. And I when I played also, I did nothing but just enjoy those things. You know, I guess some guys put pressure on themselves and you know, and let things get to them and all that stuff. But I think our bunch will enjoy it. I really do. I think they'll embrace it. They'll really step up, you know, to the moment when that happens. And you know, I've heard a lot of good things about that environment, so I'm excited to see it in person.
Well, Coach, genuinely appreciate, you know, 15 to 20 minutes of your time this evening. Safe travels to you and the Lions as you make your way to Greenville. And, you know, if the Pirates and Lions meet in the future, we'd love to have you back on the show.
You got it. Come say hello in the dugout if y'all are at the field. So, appreciate you.
Sounds good, Coach. Pirate Nation, that is the first-year head coach of the Southeastern Louisiana Lions, and that is Bobby Barbier. Be sure to follow us on social media. On TikTok and Instagram at The Sports Objective, on X at The Sports OBJ. Like and follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We will talk to you soon. And as always, go Pirates.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
There you have the thoughts of first-year head coach at Southeastern Louisiana, Bobby Barbier, as he will bring his Lions to the Keith LeClaire Classic this weekend in Greenville. Earlier, you heard from former East Carolina pitching coach Jason Dietrich. Coach Dietrich, in his third season there in Fullerton, guiding that proud Titans program, took them to a regional in 2023. They're off to a 4-3 start following a midweek victory over Loyola Marymount. But that will do it for this edition of the show. Be sure to join us on Sunday night for Extra Innings presented by PGXGloves.com. We appreciate Mark Minakazi's support of the program. Be sure to follow us on social media. On X, you can find us at TheSportsOBJ. On TikTok and Instagram at The Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we are closing in on 1,200 subscribers. But for Jason Dietrich, the head coach at Cal State Fullerton, Bobby Barbier of Southeastern Louisiana, I am Bubba Rosenbaum, and you've been listening to The Sports Objective. We'll talk to you soon, and as always, go Pirates!